episode 518 on February 3rd, 2024.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Jeff. And me, Death Row. It's cool. And this is... Yeah, Jeff said maybe we should call it CGI now instead of Draft Beer Radio. And I'm like, you know, I'm care either way.
It's weird. You know, that's what... Well, why, it's like, do I... Pardon me, one still and say, welcome to Craft Beer Radio, the show for craft brewing and the craft beer industry.
Yeah, that was, we were trying to come up with a way to say it, and we never did. And I don't know. CBR sounds fine.
CBR.
CBR it is.
CBR. So what do we have, Mr. Jeff CBR?
We have some beers from the fridge from four or local. And wow, that's in. Oh no, three are local. One is from Pennsylvania, outside a local, and one is from Hill Farmstead. So
okay,
our trip. We're got three dark beers, three strong beers, and then two saison-y things. So we're gonna start with this Trace. Trace is here in Pittsburgh. They're in what is that, Bloomfield area? I think technically across the bridge from the Bloomfield boundary, but.
Interesting. So I'm looking at their page. They have in their tap room a Foder Schwarzbier, 4.6% aged their German black lager for a few months in American white oak Foder. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, they have some pretty good stuff that I've had. They do making a lot of noise, babe.
Sorry.
Yeah, I will get rid of most of that, right? Anyway, you were saying they do...
They do, you know, your regular hazies and whatnot, but then, you know, also a fair share of lagers, like the Schwarzbier you mentioned, but mm-hmm. they also have a other lighter, I can't remember right now, Pilsner or some variant offshoot that's similar, but, you know, and then, they've been doing some of the barrel-aged stuff like this. So this beer pours very light in color. Pretty clear. Almost looks like champagne to me.
Yeah.
I was going to say it looked a little hazy, but that was just actually condensation on my part.
Yeah.
And it is not hazy. So champagne is a good way to describe it.
Like a Chardonnay, actually. I think it, champagne, isn't it usually a little lighter than
that? It might be.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
It's more of a Chardonnay.
They talk about...
it's got bubbles in it, where Chardonnay generally does.
Well, yeah.
They talk about chilling this beer for 24 hours prior to serving and to pour carefully. So this thing has been in the fridge shortly since we bought it, so it hasn't developed at all since I got it, but...
That's 5-6% alcohol by volume. Saison agent oak foder with Brettanomyces.
Try to not hit those cables. You're making big, loud noises every time.
They're all...
Gee, judgy,
just
aren't we?
Trying to hit it off, that's all.
The first episode of CBR proper. And all you're doing is doing criticizing. I noticed he also poured himself the largest sample. I mean, as long as we're doing criticizing.
Yes, here you go. Help yourself.
Thank you. I mean, you do notice that he stacked all of the cords right in front of me, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, if you want us to start on this tack, we can go.
Sure.
So on the nose, I can't tell if it's apricot or peach.
Yeah, the aroma for me smells fantastic. It has some of those stone fruit flavors, like Shannon mentioned. It's also a bit musky. There's a dustiness to it.
There's that Brett thing, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't quite go like a farm or barnyard or anything like that quite, but there's a little bit of muskiness to it for sure.
It does smell like, if you can imagine a store... An old dusty store that happens to have like a barrel full of dried apricots.
Yeah. Yeah.
It smells so good. Very dry on the flavor. Still a little cold. I'm going to cut my hands around the glass, try to get some more heat in there to open it up. Yeah, from the sip tasted kind of closed off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it kind of chilled on the tongue. And I think for this beer, once it gets past that kind of chilled on the tongue stage, it'll be very deep. But that was kind of the first thing. Pretty dry, getting a little bit of straw, kind of scratchy malt flavor.
I see, yeah, the straw. And the malty flavor. Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they tell you to, like, on the bottle, chill for 24 hours prior to serving, they obviously want you to serve it relatively cold. So,
well, they want you, the yeast to drop out and they want it to be at the bottom of the bottle so it pours clearer. That's the main reason for that.
I see.
Yeah. So, try not to shake the bottle too much. So, we'll keep the yeast at the bottom.
It is a green bottle, dark green, but mm-hmm. green.
Does have a little bit of that traditional Saison lightly skunked thing, I think. It's not bad. It's not the first thing you notice at all, but if you look for it, kind of that Saison DuPont kind of like twang to it, there's a little bit. It's kind of three quarters of the way back on the tongue on the sides is where I'm hitting it.
Interesting. I'm looking for it. At least I used to be very, very sensitive to that, mm-hmm. and I'm not detecting it. So who knows?
Yeah. Some people who make Saisons feel that the light striking, the skunking, is part of what should be in the style, right? Jester King has been known to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I presume that's part of the reason they chose a green bottle for this one, but I don't know. And then, yeah, a lot of the traditional Belgian Saisons, Fantôme, Saison DuPont, you know, come in the green bottle too.
I've had some really good Saisons and I've had some really bad Saisons. I think this one's...
Oh, this is on the very... This is on the good side, on the, sure.
Yeah, this is above average.
It's not ridiculously complex. So that's where it loses points, if anything, because, I mean, the thing about a Saison is in general, it's light on flavor, so you can't hide anything. Mm-hmm. So if there's any flaws, they're going to stand out like crazy.
Yeah.
There aren't flaws here. But at the same time, it also means very delicate flavors can come through.
Yeah. The Brett is pretty subtle. It's not mm-hmm. like a leather. It's not straight up leathery or mm-hmm. any kind of funk or anything like that. So the Brett tannomyces yeast that are in there are kind of subtle. What else did I want to say about this? Oh, when you're saying it's one of the better ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's that whole there's like Belgian style Saisons like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like brew pub Saisons.
Sure.
Right. Which are way, you know, too sweet.
Yes.
They're never dried out. They're almost like a wit beer. They're almost like a blonde ale. You know, they're somewhere in there. They're really not distinctively Saisons. And, you know, there used to be, and probably still are, a lot of locally produced things that are Saisons that to me don't hold a candle to mm-hmm. the good ones from Belgium. This one is in the group of ones that are comparable, relatable to the ones from Belgium.
As it is a like wonderful plate. And I'm just looking for, you might even call it a wonderful sauce. I'm looking for the main dish that goes there. Right. Because I think as a platform, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. There aren't any flaws here. It's nice and dry. Like you said, it's got the right amount of funk where it's not overpowering the funk, but it's there. So it just gives it that little edge.
This would be a fantastic beer to go with a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's not overpowering. It's drying. You know, it'll go good with lots of things. A lot of the traditional things for me, like a vinaigrette salad, you know, some even.
This would go great with meat. I could see this going great with a gamey meat, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking like a roast pork or something was where my head was going. But
I think either one.
This with some venison, maybe. But it does feel like
you're totally right. It's not like telling us ongoing yeah. story.
Mm-hmm.
It's shown us what it has and it continues to deliver what it has. So, you know, it's like part of what makes a beer exciting here in the format of the show is a storyteller.
Yes.
You know, and this one's not a storyteller. This is one of those beers where if we were just drinking it while we're watching TV or something, we'd be like, oh, that's just, that
hits or the with spot. A meal.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. That hits the spot.
This would be a fantastic meal beer. So if you ever happen to be in the domain such of the area such that you might be able to get this, pick this up, save it for a meal.
Yeah, you don't like I said before, I'm going to say it again, you don't get this kind of saison from a local brewery, wherever your local is, but you're a local brewery, unless your local is Bruges, you don't get this kind of saison from a local brewery very often, so.
But yeah, I mean, the problem with it not being a storyteller is that, therefore, we don't have much else to say about it.
Yeah.
It's maybe getting a little bit more tart. I'm getting...
There's a little apple juice thing in there. Do you get that?
Apple juice. It almost has a bit of a gummy bear type flavor or something. Almost like a pineapple gummy bear or something like that.
Maybe a dried pineapple?
I was thinking like a gelatin. My first thought was like the flavor...
Everyone's tongue's different.
My first thought was like... It gave me the feel of Swedish fish, but none of the flavor of Swedish fish. So then I was pivoting from there, and that's where I got to like pineapple gummy bear. But
pineapple gummy bear.
I think do any they of make those
pineapple
are,
gummy bears?
They probably do.
Probably, right? Yeah.
I think it any of those are like a stretch because, again, there's not much of a story here, so it's hard to... So we're trying to figure out mappings, and there's definitely no one-to-one.
It's poetic, man. It's poetic license. Okay, so here's the question. Do we want to do the next light beer? I think we do, because the rest of the beers are big and malty. So the next one is from Hill Farms.
Let's not blow out our palates.
The Nonconformist.
Okay, I need to finish this one.
Okay. All right, so while you're doing that, I'll talk about the Nonconformist, which is, this is not the Nonconformist. This is the Nonconformist 8. There have been, I think there are 9. So this is version 8. 6%, released June 5th of 23. It is barrel aged Citra hops, American malted barley, Munich malt, organic Vermont malted wheat, and it's aged in aromatic / gentian bitters barrels. So it's aged in bitters barrel. I assume that's like a alcoholic bitters like Agastorta, I
guess. Yeah, it would be. I'm not familiar with the Gentia or whatever it is. All right, so I'm going to try to pour us all equal amounts. I'm going to try to pour it equally clear. So I'm going to do a little... pour a bit in each glass.
Jeff is trying desperately to make up for his last mistake.
You're making a lot of noise, though.
Yeah, you're making too much noise.
Sorry. Forgive me.
Maybe. We'll see how the show turns out.
That smells... I can smell it from here.
That's mine.
Left and right. I mean, making mistakes constantly.
I think that
you're gonna get funky yeasty stuff.
Oh, I don't want funky yeasty.
That is very funky, for sure.
Oh wow!
Okay, so it spent 3 months in those bitters barrels, and then 7 months conditioning in the bottle. So those aromas come from... you think about blended bitters, like the what's the name of that? I say Agastora. Agastora. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about like Agastora.
Mm-hmm. So Angostura is very much like baking spices. It's a lot of allspice and clove and, you know, those kinds of things. This one comes across more like herbal spices.
Yeah.
There's like some rhubarb kind of flavor, like aroma coming out of it.
There's a spice in there that I'm picking up that I usually put in my homemade spaghetti sauce.
I think I'm smelling some sage or something like that.
I'm smelling some cashew.
Sage is definitely cashew.
I'm not getting anything nutty or oily.
It's the sage. That is definitely what I was
sage. Okay.
Trying to.
I can buy that.
So yeah, when I first poured the bottle, it was sitting, you know, a little over a foot from my face, and I could just smell that bitters aromatics. Mm-hmm. Now my nose is in the glass, and I've become accustomed to it. Like, I'm not noticing like that pungentness anymore.
The color is, Shannon got the best, the clearest version, but it's still mostly the same, right? It's that Chardonnay color. Ours is a little bit foggier than Shannon's.
Do we need to mix?
Well, we'll see.
Let's see what they taste like. You know, I guess the right solution would be to decant the bottle into a decanter and then pour it into glasses, right?
Yeah. Because
then I could stop pouring when I want to cut the yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be uniform in the decanter, and then I could pour it in.
But we should save that for things like this, because there are other places where I don't know whether it affects the beer or not to pour it twice, but...
Well, you'll lose some carbonation,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, it's a trade on that whole thing.
Look at that. Because
this one I poured in each of our glasses. I went back to each glass 3 different times, right? So mm-hmm. I tried... so well to make sure we were getting equal strats out of the bottle. And Shannon's is still significantly clear.
Yeah, but the bubbles on the top here, mm-hmm. mine have this almost a copper reddish tint to it. Do you see that?
I don't. Well,
it's... it's very light.
You were right about sage.
Okay.
Okay. Really?
It's there really strongly on the flavor. Very herbaceous flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It almost reminds me of like a digestive or something where it has these, you know, big herbal type flavors. It's dry. There's a little kind of bready tang to it. I love the balance on this thing.
Yeah.
I've had too many beers where they try to do like sage beer and it's like with a big malt backbone, and that undried herbal thing doesn't work for me, but this dry herbal worked really
and
well.
And it gives you the lightness plus the complexity, which is nice.
It's almost like a really good loaf of bread that has a hint of sage.
Yeah, almost like a, you know, typically they'll put rosemary on the bread, right? You know,
right.
But it's that vibe. Right?
Yeah.
It's maybe not the same herb, but it's that vibe of like that rosemary oil.
Well, bread. To me, like,
oh, yeah, fresh bread that you get at an Italian restaurant where they put the plate of oil with the seasonings in it for you to dip it in. Mm-hmm. That's what it tastes like. That's exactly what it tastes like to me.
With something extra, because you get that like sage in to me, like right in the middle of my tongue, and then it turns into a tang. So the sage fades, but the instant you put more beer in your mouth, the sage comes back.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think that aromatic jumps into your nose, and then you're left with the tanginess in the taste.
I like this.
This is really good. This is very, very unique. I don't think, I can't say I've ever had a beer like this.
Going to have to figure out what aromatic gentian bitters are, if we can get some.
I mean, it sounds like what you really want is a barrel.
Well, we're not going to rush through this beer, so let's talk about something.
No, we're not.
Shannon and I have a new favorite, or... like top tier TV show. And Greg, I think you need to watch it.
So you can say what it is. I've seen the stuff.
Okay. Yeah. It's called The Bear. It's an FX show. I think it's airing primarily on Hulu. It's a show about a chef who has worked at some of the world's best restaurants. Like, he was running the kitchen at the French Laundry and comes back to Chicago to run his dead brother's sandwich shop. But the plot, that arc really doesn't matter. It's just the canvas that everything's painted on. It's a character study. It's the kind of thing you'll like.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Like, there's a
lot. It's intense.
It's, yeah.
That's the reason why I don't think I'll like it.
Okay. Oh, I think you will.
I'm not a fan of the intense stuff. I'm not a fan of those.
Neither am I.
It's intense in, like, argument, personal interactions, like, talking over each other and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
It's chaos.
That is more likely to give me a headache than anything else. Okay.
So we started watching it, what, 2 nights ago?
No. It took us about 4 days to get through the whole
thing. Did it? Yeah. Okay.
What's nice is they're like mostly 30-minute episodes. So you can,
are they even 30? It seems like they're so short.
They seem to vary from like 24 to like 35, really? Somewhere in there.
I can't watch it if I've had a really stressful day,
yeah,
because it just makes it worse. It just compounds it. Last night, so Thursday night, we watched one of the episodes, which was the most intense episode that I think in all two seasons that are out. I checked out because I couldn't handle, mm-hmm, the stress. It was, you know, it was too much for me. So I kind of checked out, and then I ended up falling asleep. And I don't know how I fell asleep watching this episode, because it was crazy intense and good. So last night, and the reason I know that is because then last night we rewatched it, and I had a good day yesterday. It wasn't as stressful. Plus it was Friday, so I've got the weekend to recover, sure, from the week. And so I had a different, completely different mindset, and we rewatched it, and it was so good. I think that, I mean, you're kind of like me in that way. You can't, stressful situations like that is just like shut down,
yeah,
you know? So I would recommend.
I wouldn't say that. It's more like, I don't need more of that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But it is really, really good, and I would recommend you watch it on a weekend.
In a period of time when you're not working. Intense Better Call Saul episode or scene that you can think of. Uh-huh. Like, is that hard? Too hard?
Can be.
Okay. Yeah, this is a little bit worse. The episode that we're talking about is episode 2, season 6, called The Fishes.
Yeah.
And it's this family thing. It's set 5 years before the current storyline. And it's basically Christmas dinner of
the seven fishes.
A family
very
who just
dysfunctional.
Whoever talks the loudest is smartest kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so loaded. You might have seen what I posted on the Discord, but it's so loaded with cameo stars as Bob Odenkirk,
John Mulaney,
Jillian Jacobs, Sarah, girl from American Horror Story, Paulson.
What's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis plays the mother, and she plays this borderline personality disorder. Like, oh my God. Like she'll probably win an Emmy next year for it, like supporting actress kind, yeah, of thing. Cause like, it's unreal.
So you're not the first person to recommend this to me. My sister also recommended The Bear to me, and she gave me an episode to watch. It wasn't this one. It was the next one, in fact.
Oh. Really? Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That's funny.
So I think you could watch The Fishes standalone. The next episode is a redemption arc for the shitty-ass character.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it stands alone. And we didn't like it as much because it was a feel-good episode. And I don't know if, like, that's not why we watched TV, is for everything that goes well, you know, that kind of thing.
I mean, it felt like it was an episode of the show that was deliberately, she was trying not was trying not to get me stressed out.
Shannon's daughter-in-law said that's her favorite episode too. We she's like, the next one's better. And we watched it. We're
talking about Fishes. But
and we watched it. We're like, I mean, I see why, but no, it's not better.
I I can see why, because there's validation for Ricky, whatever his name. Mm-hmm. He's validated finally.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really needed. So I can see why people like my daughter-in-law and stuff would say that that was their favorite episode.
He was an unlikable character before that, right?
So, yeah.
Like, I mean, really unlikable. Like you're like, why don't they fire this guy? You know, like that's...
Yeah. But the episode before, the acting is just by far, I think, the best acting I've ever seen on a television series. We had
Jason on our Discord say that. He says it's the best episode of TV that acting he's seen. So Jason said that too. I'm it's definitely in the top five. It's good.
Oh yeah.
I was reading up on it, and there's a scene at the dinner table where it comes to the climax, right? And they just let the scene run. They had three cameras with long lenses, and there's shots of like Bob Odenkirk, like right there where he's egging on the other guy and stuff. And it looks like he's set up, you know, yelling at the camera, but he was yelling at the other guy. They had the camera on the long lens able to get in there, and it's intense, and maybe you don't like it, but it's,
maybe, I mean, like I'm not opposed to it, but I've got a lot of stuff in front of me. Speaking of which, well, let's get to the next beer, and then I'll talk about
Let's get this one out of the way. Although I don't want to get delicious. Out of the way. I know. I just want to sit here and enjoy it.
This is the Nonconformist from Hill Farmstead.
Uh-huh.
This herbal saison is freaking baller.
Yeah. So what would be next on our list? Where do we go? I don't think we want to go barley wine necessarily.
No. Let's go.
The douse maybe?
No, let's do the East End next.
Okay.
I think I need to rinse my glass, though.
Well, just one right there.
And a dump bucket. We found the dump bucket.
Yeah, so it was on a low shelf, just pushed in the way back in the shed, and then I found it a while ago. And I thought I brought it into the basement last show, but it was still out in the shed, so made sure I paid attention to where I left it this year. But the dump bucket, for people who no one probably remembers, but when Anheuser-Busch sent us out to Wyoming, mm-hmm. We went to, they housed us at the Four Seasons.
Yep.
In Jackson, Wyoming, on a ski resort.
One of the places I really want to go.
And when we walked into our hotel rooms, there's this Bud Light bucket with Budweiser beers, the different brands, the Michelobes and the Shock Tops and the whatevers, sitting in our room. So it was like, you know, and then
it was very funny because, especially at the time, we're still in our pretty snobbish zone. Yeah. So we get these, you know, this nice presentation of Shock Top, and
this one's Craig's.
The middle one is mine.
Yeah, the one closest to me is mine.
And so, of course, we're like, you know, it's a nice gesture. It was just a nice gesture on their part, which, you know, of course, they're paying for. It's all marketing. Anyway,
but if I remember right, it was in the time frame when they were making the good beers with Michelob. So
right.
It was like Bavarian Wheat or Dunkelweizen in there, I think. So
yeah, but there was also like Budweiser.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you poo-poo it, at the same time you're like, oh, sure, why free beer? So that was fun, the time when we were early enough in the game that they thought marketing to us was valuable.
Yeah. That was sure fun getting to go to Idaho, Wyoming, and St. Louis.
Yeah, we got all three of those.
When are we going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
When you get Budweiser level salaries.
We can anytime we want to, but we got so much travel coming up.
I
this
know
year,
we insane. Do. We really do.
All right. So this is the East End 19th anniversary. It's a Mexican mole stout. So it has chili and Mexican chocolate in it. And the aroma doesn't hide that fact at all.
No.
So this one is 9%.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, dark, black, pretty.
We actually went up there, was last night? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last night.
Could you pass me the can, please?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. And I ordered that, but I only got a four ounces.
The taster size. I don't know how many ounces.
I think it was about 4 ounces.
So this has cacao nibs, commonplace Kunjin coffee, one of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Yeah, commonplace. Didn't even notice that.
Mexican bourbon, vanilla, and fresh habanero chilies.
Wow. So with the coffee.
That's crazy. I didn't
know. Yeah, the coffee's, I don't know. See if you can taste it, because with the other things added, the vanilla and the cocoa and the chili,
Well, the thing I like about Kunjin, that particular blend, or it's not blend, it's a
varietal.
A varietal is the body. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the flavor. When the flavor is nice, of course, most of the commonplace is, but the flavor isn't the standout, it's the body that's the standout, I think. When you brew it right, you gotta do like your careful brew. You can't just throw it into a percolator.
It's funny. I have an AeroPress, make AeroPress coffee every day. And usually I use the paper filters, and I ran out of paper filters. And I had like three of the stainless steel ones, you know, that one was given me as a gift. I think Shannon had a couple when you bought your AeroPress or something.
Probably. Yeah.
And I'm like, well, let me try to use the metal ones for a bit, you know, instead of ordering new paper ones right away. And that was like on Friday.
When did you order the paper ones again?
Oh, so by Wednesday, I went from three down to one. I threw two of them out.
And wow.
There's too late. There's more trash on top. I couldn't dig it out. So like, okay. So I guess I'm not good at these reusable filters, these stainless steel filters. So I ordered some more paper ones.
I still have a bunch that I could probably give to you, because these days I do pour over.
Okay.
I do, what's that?
Chemex.
Yeah, I have a Chemex. And it's, I think, just as good. And I got myself the OXO thing that gets you the exact right temperature the gooseneck. So
that's cool.
It's a process.
I have 800 filters now, so I'm not going to need them for at least a year, if not like.
But
that.
We won't say no to them.
Mm.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've also kind of fallen in love with cold brew.
Oh yeah.
And I might start to make that at home, but I like literally even the cold brew stuff you can buy on the market. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
no, if making cold brew with the commonplace stuff, they do it at work. They have this fancy ass thing that it soaks for a day and then drains out. And
I want to go to commonplace.
And it's super concentrate, right? So you usually keep it in the fridge. You have a gallon of it or whatever, and you pour a few ounces and you actually water it down because it's so concentrate. So,
no, I want to go to commonplace tomorrow. I mean, even though our shelves are lined with commonplace coffee here, I want the cold brew. Okay, I mean, so I could make it, I guess, with the Ninja.
I don't know. We can talk about it. I mean, I don't know the details. I have to look it up, but usually let it sit for like 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, cold brew is a slow process.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about it.
Basically get this thing that has an extra, extra large coffee filter. You make a ton of grinds. You pour the water in. You let it soak for a day. And then there's a spigot at the bottom, which drains the water out into a catch basin underneath it. And that's your concentrate cold brew.
I think I've seen other devices where it's just a lot of stuff. But it's a slow, very slow drip.
Okay.
So it starts right away dripping, but because it's a slow drip, it takes at least a day.
All right. I'm sorry. I just took a taste because it's definitely warming up. Well, I'm not sorry. I went ahead and took a taste. It's warm enough and such a dark chocolate.
It's Mexican chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Mexican.
I've been fortunate enough to be down in the south, Southwest area enough times to get my hands on some, you know, authentic mm-hmm. Mexican chocolate.
And, yeah.
This is very much what it tastes like. It's a little bit sort of a dustier, grittier mm-hmm. chocolate.
Yep.
Not nearly as sweet. But that said, not incredibly bitter either.
No.
The bourbon vanilla, the Mexican bourbon vanilla. I mean, that's contributing a lot to what we're tasting.
Yeah, and then I can taste the bourbon.
I didn't realize until you mentioned it, Greg. It says right here on the label too, fresh habanero. Right?
Oh yeah, and it's there.
Yeah, when I was drinking this, not knowing, I was just chili powder. But actually, if I think about it, like I can taste kind of. It's a little more nuanced. It's a little more fleshy. It's different mm-hmm. than just like a ton of cayenne or something added yeah. to it.
So it's interesting because I'm tasting the Mexican chocolate on my tongue, but the back of my throat tastes the habanero.
Yeah, and it's like...
And it's like stuck there.
It's not, and I'm not a guy who... I know Jeff loves spicy foods. I'm ambivalent. But...
I kind of want to put a drop of hot sauce in here.
it's spicy enough to tingle your mouth, but it's not spicy enough that you're like... I mean, unless you're like really against spice, which, you know, some people are, mm-hmm. but it's spicy enough that it's just a tingle. It's not, I got to grab more water. There's nothing there that's like, I got to douse this out. It's just a tingle. So it's the right amount of spice.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is very, very good.
It is.
I usually get my East End beers complimentary. I paid for this one. So,
We paid for a 4-pack.
Yeah, we paid
for some while we were there and a 4-pack.
So far, this show is kind of the diametrical opposite of last show.
Because last show yeah. was so disappointing.
It was. Thank
goodness.
But interesting that Jeff is now just on his phone.
Oh, I'm just looking at the notes for what topics might be worth talking.
Well, I was going to say that the show that I watched,
yeah,
because it finally did complete, and I was waiting for it to complete so I could binge it. Was Fargo season 5?
Oh,
yeah, I just watched that.
Oh, okay, so you have?
Yes. Right,
okay.
Yeah.
I think it was very good. Juno Temple was amazing in it. Juno Temple is absolutely fantastic.
That's the lady that plays Keeley in Ted Lasso.
Oh.
She didn't watch it. I tried getting her into the first season of Fargo, and she's like, eh.
Well,
so when she
maybe
was in Seattle,
I wasn't in the mood.
When she was in Seattle, I binged season 5. So
it took me 2 days. And I did like that. I started watching it, and the first episode, it didn't really grab me that much till the end. And then I think I watched the rest, like up to episode 5, and 5 served as an excellent place to, okay, I could put this away and come back the next day. And so I would give it an 8.
How would you place it amongst other Fargos?
So I didn't see seasons 3 or 4.
Okay.
And I've seen seasons 1 or 2, but a while ago. I feel like season 1 was the best. And I feel like this is on par with season 2.
2 was one with Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst,
yes.
Right? Okay. 3 was the one, I can't remember.
4 was Chris Rock. I know that was that.
Was that the Chris Rock one? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that, it was just the reviews were kind of like iffy. I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I know, but everyone said this is a season where they come back, and it was good. I'm a fan of Noah Hawley in general. And he adds magical realism to his things in various different places.
How'd you like John Hamm?
It's weird because, like, no, John Hamm, I'd also give him like an 8, right? I think that he's so ridiculously charismatic that in the first couple episodes, he makes a really bad character almost sympathetic.
Uh-huh.
And then it turns and you're like, okay, no, he's just bad. but no, he's very good in it. But Juno Temple was the star.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She was so fantastic. One, I did notice that I didn't like the kid actor. The kid, I think she was playing somebody who was like younger than she looked for sure. Like it seemed like she was playing a 6-year-old, but she's clearly like 10 or 12 even. And at one point, I do remember she spiked the camera, and I was like, "Oh God, how do you? Why didn't they get rid of that?" Yeah, I mean, just when that happens, it's just when somebody looks right at the camera, you're just like, "Oof."
Looking into your soul, Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was super good. I forgot to put it on notes, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was glad to see it was a Fargo akin to the first mm-hmm. two seasons. Because, yeah, those first two ones are really good.
I'm glad you found some really good things to do while I was gone.
I watched Fargo because you weren't.
Really, I know. Really I'm good. Glad that you were able to do that.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
No. I wasn't.
I mean, I have it here with me if you wanted it, but here you don't need it, so it's fine.
Yeah, we have Hulu, I think. I think it's on Hulu, so. Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm ready. So the next one that I want to watch, we're in the middle of something else, but next is The Expats. Expats.
I don't know what that is.
About it.
Nicole Kidman plays in it. And you know what an expat is?
Yeah, expatriate.
Okay. So that's basically what it is. But I really, really like Nicole Kidman. And I don't really know a lot about it. I just saw a couple of trailers here and there. And it just came out a week or so ago. The first episode.
One with Nicole Kidman where she was like the spiritual guru at that freaky retreat?
White Lotus?
Yeah.
Is that White Lotus?
White Lotus?
I don't know.
No.
It wasn't White Lotus. We stopped watching White Lotus, but it was a similar. It came out right before White Lotus.
No, it was with Reese Witherspoon, too. Crap. I liked that show. I can't think of what it is. Now I'm going to have to Google it.
So while you're Googling, I will talk about this beer.
Okay.
Now, it's been so long ago that this is, it's just a weird kind of memory that floats around whenever I taste a beer that has decently good pepper in it.
Mm-hmm.
That Tabasco.
Oh my God. Quarter. We're just talking about it at work this week. So that's okay. This is crazy. We're both in the same headspace because yeah, I had, it was this beer that brought it up. Oh, I forget. Oh, someone was just talking about, back when we did the hot ones and one of my persons on my team maybe did the bomb beer shot. They brought that up again. And then we got on the kind of the conversation about how pepper beers are tenuous and things like that. And I was like, oh my God. But the Ring of Fire from Iron Hill, which was a Tabasco barrel aged porter. So I went and looked into this beer. They only brewed it in 2008. They put a blonde ale or a golden ale into the Tabasco barrels, and it was this nuclear thing, and they had to blend it out, and they blended it out with porter. So it changed from like this golden spicy pepper beer to a porter. There was a recall on it. It was only available to Mug Club members. So I think we got it from Brian Colasar from the Brew Lounge blog. Because, you know, he'd come out and he comes out every year for the Flyers Penguins game, whatnot. So I think we got it from him. There was bottles exploding because of overcarbonation. So there was a recall on this beer. So like reading and then like people like reviews of it back in the 2008 time frame on Beer Advocate and stuff. I was looking up even and people were like, it's overcarbonated. It's kind of oxidized. It's, you know, like, so I'm like, we seem to love this beer, but all signs are pointing to it shouldn't have been a good beer.
I mean, that happens occasionally. You get like the gem of the bottles.
Yeah.
Usually you hear about a great beer and you get one and it's like, in most cases, if you get one, it's going to be the bad one, not the good one.
Yeah.
But no, somehow that one was remarkable for how good it was, how well that sticks in my head, and how well the spice played. And it's the same thing where the capsaicin is playing the same kind of feeling role here, where it's there, it's not overpowering, mm-hmm. but it's there and it's obvious and it's like it's giving a charm to the beer.
Yeah. I mean, my palate is like, you know, my spice tolerance is through the roof, right? But I haven't had a sip in a minute and a half or so, and I still feel a little tingle on my tongue, you know? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. for someone who doesn't have such a spice tolerance, they might think that it has a, I don't think it's going to be hot or a huge.
No,
I think
it doesn't.
No.
I think it's going to be more present.
It's not a thing where you're reaching for a glass to put it out.
No, so not at all.
So that's it's the good kind of hot there. That's why I think it's the good kind of hot, because the bad kind of hot is where, yeah, oh my God, this has to stop. This right. is not that.
Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
So back to Nicole Kidman and the show you were asking about.
Yeah.
Big Little Lies.
Is that what it was?
Big Little yeah. Lies.
Big Little Lies.
She didn't play a really likable character in that episode, in that show.
She was. Yeah, it was.
It's a retreat.
She was misunderstood.
All right, so we're going to go to Boxcar Brewing next. We pick this up.
I am so sick of rich people, like really rich people. Like, I'm so sick of the absurdly rich. I mean, why shouldn't I be? But like, the way in which they're just, at this point, they seem to be. There are, let's say, I would say all of them, but there are certainly many of them who are flaunting the fact that they are super rich and can do so much because they are super rich.
So this is crazy. Craig told me this. Let me tell you about Craig. But no. Yeah. You gave.
We have a sound effect.
If you gave. If you gave Christopher Columbus $200,000 a day for every day since he'd...
Christopher Columbus, the director of Home Alone?
No, Christopher Columbus. Chris Columbus, the the sailor, the explorer the from 1492.
Right, yeah.
If you gave him $200,000 a day, every day, from then till now, he still wouldn't have the $44 billion that Elon Musk used to buy Twitter.
Well... From a purely, you put money in a box and that's it, yeah. Standpoint. Yeah, but that's not, of course, how it worked, because that money would be invested in.
Well, sure. But it's also crazy. It kind of helps with the perspective of what $44 billion, because yeah. It's been eight. Oh my God. How many days? I forget. I double checked the math. He'd have like $39 billion. If you gave him $200,000 a day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, you know, what, 500, 600, whatever years, you know.
1492.
Yeah, so. Whatever the math is. But I don't know. It's, you would think if you got that much money daily and were able to accumulate that for all of that time, you'd be the richest person on earth. And you're not.
I mean, we'll start pouring a beer. So it's not like Musk put $44 million of his own money up, which is even the funnier thing, because he put like, I don't know, maybe 15, 12 million of his own money. And then he got other investors to join him. It would have been funnier if he put 44 million of his own money in.
Billion. Yeah.
Billion. But the problem is, how much of that is liquid? Like, most of that's in, valued in stock, like Tesla stock, which is ridiculously overvalued, mm-hmm. SpaceX stock, which is ridiculously overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he actually has X amount of money sitting around. And in fact, like, if he were to sell all of his stock, the price would drop. That's how economics works. So it wouldn't be worth that much. So anytime you're talking about paper value, it's a little bit of a weird thing, but that was literally $44 billion in liquid that transferred. Mm-hmm. So there was, with the combination, there was $44 billion of liquid money that went from one, went to the Twitter board. I understand the people at Twitter being like, "Okay, you're going to give us $44 billion. We accept, take it." Because yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, for sure.
But I mean, it is funny to me how he has absolutely ruined this thing, this plaything, and he spent a bunch of rich people's money on it. In some ways, it's freaking funny. It's hilarious. But it's also, I do not want to hear about billionaires anymore. Just sick of it. So I'm not interested in like that show Billions. I think that's off the air now. Yeah.
So there's been 194,340 days since 1492. So that's kind of the number of days you're thinking about. So 200, almost 200,000 times 200,000, which I think comes out to 40 billion, right? So,
yeah. Yeah. Just think, when you think of a billion, remember that a billion is 1,000 million. Mm-hmm. So if you have $1 million, it takes 1,000 of those to make $1 billion.
That's a lot. And
I play Monopoly Go.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that.
You're going to make $1 billion, play Monopoly Go?
I have like $23 billion right now on Monopoly Go.
Damn.
How much is that worth in real money?
Jack Diddley.
Jack Diddley. What do we have here, Jeff?
This is Boxcar Brewing in Dubois, Pennsylvania. This is their Capricious. This is
it Dubois or is it Dubois?
It should be Dubois,
but it's
right?
not.
Or is it Dubois?
But it's not because we're in Pennsylvania, so mm-hmm. it's Dubois.
It's Dubois.
There's Dubois and there's Versailles, North Versailles.
Yes, it's Dubois.
It's Dubois.
This is a blend of two different the beer. The bear went into maple syrup barrels and into bourbon barrels.
Maple syrup from where is my question?
I want to
know.
They don't put
from maple trees.
They don't put shitty maple syrup in wooden barrels.
Look at this, my brain.
They only put the expensive maple syrup in barrels.
I just want to know if it's from Vermont.
It doesn't say. Probably Canada.
Well, no, it doesn't say at all. So, and it just says abundant bourbon. Well,
but before Founders sold out and they sourced their maple syrup barrels, it was from Canada. And I've actually had the syrup and it was like $60 for a wine bottle of maple syrup.
Yeah. And usually it's not worth that much.
It was good.
It's not like $60.
It was good. I didn't buy it for it. It was, back in the day, before Canadian Breakfast Stout was everywhere, the Fatheads Pub here in Pittsburgh had a release day thing. So they had a sixth of a Canadian Breakfast Stout. They had bottles of the syrup that was also in those barrels. And then they got waffles from Point Bruges.
Oh,
and so we were, and the waffles and the syrup are comp for like going for the tasting. It's an old school craft beer event. It was really cool.
So I smell the maple.
Oh yeah.
Smell the bourbon.
Yeah, maple leads.
It looks a little thin, but I think that's probably because of the maple. The color is kind of a brownish gray, almost weirdly.
Also a pretty tea color. There's a reddish hue to it.
Tea.
And looks like tea. Very clear. If you can get light through to shine through it. No head.
Yeah, that's the thinness. Yeah. So.
And then the aroma.
There's.
Is 14% too, which.
Which I think is. Could easily mess people up because just on the nose itself, it seems like a very, it doesn't seem very complex.
It's not as viscous as I would have expected it to be for 14%.
I jumped ahead to the flavor. It's a little bit oxidized. There's kind of a cherry note to it, like a cherry thing. It's not ruining the beer, at least not on the first sip, but it is oxidation. It might prove to not be worth sobriety, but it's oxidized.
Very much so. I'm I'm on the edge of saying no, just because, yeah, that is.
It is.
Now, if it was a tart cherry stout, then you might be like, oh, it's nailing it.
No.
The fact that it looks so thin, like I kind of, it looked that way. It looked like there was a problem with it.
They waxed it. How'd the air get in with the wax? Oh my goodness. I can't understand.
No.
The wax was a real pain to get off too.
Yeah.
There's still some on the table.
Yeah. That's a dump bucket.
Grab the old dump bucket.
The dump bucket.
I guess. The debut of the dump bucket.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do we want to pull out the option mirror then?
I think so.
All right. I'll pull it out, and it really should go next in the lineup, but it's too cold, so we're going to have to do it last.
All
right. It's in the fridge right up here.
All right.
I think yes. We're talking about the one that we got from
66.
This one. It's also waxed beautifully with my favorite color.
Blue.
A
dark blue, like a navy.
A navy blue.
Yeah.
Has to be navy blue.
Unfortunately,
for it to be my favorite color.
Too cold to drink right now, so I'm going to sit on it.
Literally.
Yeah, sit on it.
Sit and spin.
Like a nest. Be a little mama bird. All right, so while we're waiting for that to warm up, we're going to jump on to, from Cinderlands Brewing Company, we have Douse Rye. It's an imperial stout aged in Willett Rye casks for 26 months, and Sazerac and Templeton Rye casks for 20 months, 13%.
Anyone else need a rinse?
I think I'm good.
All right.
Willett, Sazerac, and Templeton.
What are we on? I'm sorry. I was.
Douse Rye.
Okay. Cinderlands.
So we're going from 14% and ruined to 13% and hopefully not ruined.
It's going to be another one of those. Are we going to have a after
show?
Post show?
Sure. Almost certainly. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely something I want to talk about.
Is it going to be one of those long ones? Because we.
Certainly. We got to give Greg McGill something to listen to while he's cleaning kegs.
For sure. Greg, you're awesome, man.
You are awesome. And
I said in Discord this week, like, he's the only person to see like a 3-hour post show. He's like, let's fucking go.
How long did it take for you to upload that? You had to let it go overnight, right?
I forgot that the post show was so long, and it was taking forever to upload. Because when we upload the show, we do the multi-track. So it was not just 3 hours. It was 3 times 3. So it was 9 hours of WAV files that I was uploading over my gigabit Ethernet to Aphonic.
Wow.
And it took forever.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. This Douse Rye. I've had it before. This is a $22 can of beer. And unless this can, you know, somehow is cursed.
See, this looks better.
Worth it. This thing looks like, it looks like Dark Lord, right? It is like murky black. It has the darkest head.
It has like tan highlights, like. It's almost just reddish.
See, I wouldn't say highlights because it doesn't have highlights.
Well, no, it is a black hole. Like the foam is like so, reddish.
Almost. Like tilt your glass. Look at the
that's legs.
I mean, the legs on that are beautiful.
It smells smoky.
So there's gonna be
We need to take our
time with this beer, even when we're doing it not in analysis mode.
Yeah.
The first sip or two is just blows you out, but then after that, you can get into the nuance.
So it's like a,
it's like a bourbon, really.
Well, like, or even like any cocktail with Campari in it, right? So it's like the bitterness is going to whack you, and then you ease into it. Yeah.
So I'm just going to sit here with my hands wrapped around this glass for a while.
Yeah. So I was kind of worried about having this one on the show because the way we have to take a quick take, and I'm like, this one's not amenable to a quick take, but you know what?
It's CBR now.
It's only CBR. I got shit to talk about. It's like FedEx. They're not Federal or Express anymore. They're just FedEx. So.
Were they Federal before?
Well, they were primarily Federal.
Oh, I mean,
their title was, their really name was Federal Express. I have no idea about their federal business, but they literally changed their name from Federal Express to FedEx.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if they were ever.
I think that there was something they did that was that aligned themselves with federal stuff more often, but they were never like actually federal.
Mm. I'd be interested to know. So, if anybody has,
they should
any...
have covered that in Hamilton. There should be a song about it.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a throwback.
Well, the thing is that the reason why I asked to bring your computer is because. Yeah. In the Discord, shout out to Discord, everybody.
Yes.
Jeff pointed out that he asked about the Electoral College, and he said, Greg probably knows, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do. But I was like, you know what? Here's the deal. We'll talk about this in the post show more, but I want you to ask me about the Electoral College with it up, like with the information, like the wiki, like actually.
Oh, you want me to be like the proctor.
When that started, I did not look up anything. I haven't. In fact, there was one time when I was looking up a story and it talked about a constitutional amendment, like on the New York Times, and I took it away because I didn't want to.
Yeah. So the origin of the whole thing was that Greg wanted to get our take, and we got to do this in the post show too, on like why Trump is popular in the United States, right?
That's a very difficult question.
But he wants that, you know, so he tried to give it. But he's in New Zealand. He doesn't know. He's like, I don't understand. Why is Trump popular? I'd love to hear your take. And that's why I made this joke of like, you know, that'll be perfect for episode 538.
Yes.
Right. And he missed the joke. And the joke was in the United States, there is a website, 538 blog, which is this thing. And I initially said it was the number of people in Congress, and that's wrong. There's 535 people in Congress, 435 House of Representatives, and 100 senators. And I had to correct myself. 538 is the number of electoral votes there.
Yes.
And I'm like, it's the Electoral College. And I had said, just as a joke to Greg, like, don't ask. No one knows. And then we talked, and he said he actually had looked up back in the 2016, mm-hmm. Thing. He read up on it. And then I'm like, I said something about like, I hope Greg doesn't see this, cause I want to see how much Greg knows about the Electoral College off the top of his head. And you did see it, but you said you were going to stay blind.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's what we're going to do. One of the things we're going to do.
Yes.
Post show. This is going to be like a 4-hour post show. Especially if we have to figure out why Trump is popular.
Well, that's going to be a very tough topic because none of us know the answer. There's just sort of suspect.
No,
that's the fun part.
None of us wild understand. Speculation. It's not no.
The wild speculation will be
understand.
The fun part.
There's a lot to talk about there. It's also an aggravating topic. So it's questionable how long we'll stay on.
So
snowflake.
You know how you haven't watched
The Bear?
Mm-hmm. Because.
Yeah.
Of.
Yeah. The same thing. The same thing.
Fuck. Yes.
Yeah.
Just hearing that man's voice makes my blood pressure go up to the point where I'm.
Who needs that?
Worried about myself.
I had a fucking Facebook memory just a couple days ago because it was like it was the day after the inauguration, right? And it was like, hey, did y'all hear what Trump did today? Neither did I. And I've never been so happy, right? Because he's been, and like it popped up like now. I'm like, oh, fuck, that didn't age well. That fucking sucks.
I think there is some interesting things I could say about the phenomenon that Trump is using. I don't know how much I can say about Trump himself.
I have a lot I could say about him.
Like, but I mean, like,
it's probably not appropriate to say in public.
Fuck that.
This isn't public. This is the internet.
Yeah.
It's perfectly appropriate to say it on the internet.
Fuck that guy.
He's a fucking douchebag.
And maybe you save it for the post show, but.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, it's okay. yeah, we all believe it is the opinion of this house that Trump is a douchebag.
He is.
All right, Dallas Rye from Cinderlands.
Back to the show here. It is
Roma is kind of is boozy. It's for sure boozy.
Yeah.
There is a barrely woody thing. There's a cocoa. Greg's shaking his head. Uh-oh.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is.
It's not the barrel.
It's heavy.
Lot, but it's a lot.
It's heavy.
It's a lot.
It's heavy.
I see what you mean about how, like,
it comes around after a sip or two. It really does. It fits like a warm glove. I promise you.
Okay. 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 It's really smoky, very assertive, and it grabs your attention, and it stays there.
It's everything I want in Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
It's everything I want.
Now,
this is not a warm hug. This is someone tackling you.
It's a bear hug, man.
Yeah. It's a bear hug. The chocolate notes that you're tasting.
There's not chocolate, but there's chocolatey notes.
Yeah.
There's
bitter, yeah.
It's like bitter chocolate, baker's chocolate.
Mm-hmm. It's baker's.
Mostly just roasted barley and barrel tannins kind of giving a chocolate thing is what it is.
Yeah. Okay.
The mouthfeel in the thing, it's a slick, it's that boozy, slick Imperial Stout mouthfeel. Love it. Boozy flavor. It has that oaky, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I am picking up anything distinctly rye about it. Maybe subtly rye. Maybe if I had the bourbon version of this beer, I'd notice the difference. I would expect, you know, something spicy.
There's a little bit of spice on the back of my tongue a bit. That's the only thing I can call out that is to me any rye-ish quality.
You know, but, you know, we had the Brooklyn Black Ops on the Disappointing Show. And this is the counterpart to that. This delivers in every aspect where I wanted Brooklyn to deliver.
Let me be clear. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's a lot.
Yeah, you still got like 4 ounces to come around to.
And it's bordering on ashy. Bordering on, not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get you. Previous, the last time we had this beer, I bought 2 cans because they're $22 a can, right? So, or maybe it was $11 a can. Maybe it was 22 for both. I forget. It was a lot. I was thinking, oh, it's a little too ashy. And then I lived with it a little bit, and it changed my mind.
Well, it's definitely warmed up a lot.
I have to tell you, so we only bought 2 cans. We drank.
Yeah, this is the last one.
I mean, and maybe it was really hard to save this second
that's why
can for
this,
the show.
That's why I had it this week, because if we didn't, it wouldn't make it to
it
the next show.
It wouldn't have made it to the next show, no.
All right. I feel a little bit of what you're saying, where I'm starting to break through a bit. I'm starting to get to that taste. I got more of the chocolate than I ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's almost like Shannon and I have learned how to drink this beer, because like we didn't need the training wheel sips this time around.
No.
So a weird observation is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There's a lot to get past, though. Mm-hmm. Like there's a barrier here.
If you have these expectations over here of what you're going to get in the beer, and then you get something on the opposite side of the scale, you're going to be it's going to be hard for you to come up with a really good opinion. That's not even the right word. So it's just going to be, the expectation versus what you're getting are going to be completely different. Jeff and I both had this beer. We know what to expect. So
and we focused in right on the parts we loved in this second can. Mm-hmm. But the first can, no, seriously, like there was a learning curve to getting on boarded to this beer. It was, I'm not saying anything like succinctly. It just like this weird
observation. A log line being like, this is a lot. And enjoyment is there's a predicate to that.
Yeah. I'm starting to feel like we're trying to force your arm.
I don't want to do that.
Stop that. Totally possible that this is just, you know, not, you know, we're not all going to, we're not all going to get to yes on this one.
Yeah. But. I mean, you said there's everything you like in a stout, but like to me, no, a stout would be like an imperial stout would be one that is enjoyable from the top. You don't have to break through anything. To have to have a thing where you get through is, I think, a less desirable trait.
Well, it was okay. So we were sitting on the couch having this beer, and I had my first sip, and it was colder than this because it wasn't sitting out for most of the show, right? And I was like, oh, it's kind of ashy, kind of monotone. And but then as it sat in our glass and we watched more TV and drank it, it got to where it is now for me, and it got into more of the thing. So
everybody who gets this will probably have the same experience where the first few tastes, they'll be a little off, and then they'll be fine with it for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And they'll be doing whatever they're doing. We're in CBR mode doing the microscope.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a different way to look at the beer.
That's how we've...
And
absolutely.
And so I'm judging it more harshly based on that.
Yeah. No, you should. And like I said, that's why I said a minute ago, like, I don't want to sound like we're trying to twist your arm. Like, Greg, you have to get here. Like, this isn't like, I'm not Mickey, like trying to train you to beat Apollo Creed. Rest in peace, Carl Weathers.
Rest in power, King. But okay. So the thing is, like, this is still like way better than that oxidized crap, and this is way better than anything we had on last show. Yeah. But it's not so immediately enjoyable, and it takes so much training to get through.
I get you. Okay, so here's the question. We're at an hour 12. Do we want to do the rankings now, or do we want to open this Brew Gens?
I think we need to open the Brew Gens only because we told him.
Well, a month ago,
this was going to be on the next episode.
I think we need to open the Brew Gens because it's a 750 milliliter bottle, and we're probably going to have another 3-hour post show.
Yes. Okay. Twist my arm, Greg. I won't twist yours to like this beer, but you can twist my arm to drink another Mexican chocolate stout. Mm-hmm. Thing is, I don't want to rush that beer.
No, yeah. Shannon, I don't want to.
Can you grab
either.
A couple more beer glasses out of the?
Well, that's an interesting.
Oh, good idea.
Okay. So, you know, worst comes worst, of course.
And you're asking me because I'm the female in the house, or
you're the homemaker. I'm the close...
because you're the run right there. Who knows?
Thank you.
No, that's not.
Thank
why.
You, Greg.
It's not why not I did it.
Because...
Not why I did it.
He just dug his grave.
I'm just like he such just a sexist asshole. Everyone who knows me knows that I don't respect women.
I'm just the housewife.
Bitches ain't shit, you know?
Bitches ain't shit. What kind of glass? We don't have three of them.
Just the nice, fancy ones. I don't know.
Bitches ain't
Jamie and Pardley's up!
I hate it when the USB thing goes and
don't work.
And I lose all my soundboard stuff.
What should I use?
The mug thin glass beer glasses.
This?
Yeah. That'll work. Those are good. If you have more than one of those.
Anything thin is fine.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I have my Eggs Ever Easy.
No, that's not thin. That's the opposite of thin. Wine glasses.
Wine glasses?
Yeah, wine glasses will work.
Like this?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, great.
All right. I'll take one in my wicked
All right.
Get to the chopper!
All right. The final beer, probably, of the evening is the Brew Gentlemen's. What do they call this thing? This is...
Oh, yeah. I need to write this one down because I don't have this one ready for the show. Brew Gentlemen's.
Double mix.
Double mix. All right. So American Imperial Stout. Barrel aged stout made with coffee, cinnamon, and vanilla,
9.9%.
9.9%. An imperial oatmeal stout with coffee, cinnamon, and vanilla aged in bourbon barrels, 11%.
11%. Okay, so that was wrong.
Oh.
I'm trying to find. Okay, maybe this is.
Wait, I need to fix my.
I guess they must have changed
I like how it says, where it says made in Braddock. Braddock's a town just outside of Pittsburgh where the Brew Gentlemen are. But instead of saying made in Braddock, it's in Spanish. So it's Hicka in Braddock.
So what's the actual percentage?
Bottle says 11.
Bottle says 11. So the thing that I have is the 2022 version, which...
this is the 23 version.
And it's sold out. So good luck.
Yeah, no, we were really lucky getting
that's
this.
It. So basically, they had it on pickup reserve kind of thing. I'm like, do you have any left over? And they're like, oh, there you go, check. So,
yeah. We got really lucky and great bartender. I'm sorry if you're listening, but I don't remember your name.
I love that aroma.
The cinnamon's way bigger in this one than the East End.
That's just
smells like a meal
full of flavors, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like bursting.
Man, that smells like a fajita. It's weird.
A fajita.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm feeling more chocolate.
That's a good description, actually.
There's spice there.
Is it like the tortilla or is there a peppery thing? Like
it's the peppery, peppers. It's like the, you know, cause I'm thinking of like those fajitas where you have the, you know, where they chop the red and the bell peppers and that gives it an aroma.
Okay.
So it's really funny and it's the alcohol talking now, but,
no, it's you
when
talking.
You said fajita, I was just thinking of all of the different flavors and thinking of it as a kind of, you know, it was humorous.
Oh my God.
But I actually, on the nose, when you say fajita, it's a fucking fajita.
Because it's a wow beer.
Holy shit.
It's a wow beer.
Holy shit. He said the last one was everything you wanted to stout.
Oh my God.
This is amazing. That first sip was like,
what?
It's like,
is going on?
It's like ice cream and
chocolate, peppers. Ice cream, peppers, onions, like everything in a fajita, but sweetened.
Mole fajita. Yeah, mole fajita. Chocolate in there.
But it has the mouthfeel of like a milkshake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweetened.
That's pretty good.
That don't suck.
No, it don't suck. And it's not just pretty good. It's pretty fucking good. I can't.
No, that's a wow beer.
That is exceptional. That is. The chocolate is still Mexican chocolate, but a little bit sweeter. There is, as you said, a full mouth feel, very, you know, full and inviting. There is like a spiciness, almost like a cumin like spice.
Well, the cumin makes sense when you guys were calling out fajitas earlier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I almost, if there was more room for me to fit in, I would be like, are you getting the peppers or the cumin? But yeah, I think the cumin is probably where that's how I'm relating to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the chocolate for me.
Oh, God.
It's so not Mexican. I mean, it is Mexican chocolate, but it's not only Mexican chocolate. Yeah. It is like when you get one of those like super rich, like Belgian hot chocolates. It's like that kind of chocolate too.
Yeah, there's that sort of deeper, more bitter chocolate, but the bitterness is cut with kind of perfect amount of sweetness to not overpower it. And it's the coldness that's giving you that milkshake thing, but it's and the thickness, right? But because it's still pretty cold.
But I like it. I don't want it to go away.
No.
It fits.
It's full. Remember I said it smells like a meal. It tastes like a meal. A different sort of meal than I was tasting, than I was smelling, but. Your gentleman does it again.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that we got this bottle on like, because we asked nicely
mm-hmm.
and someone didn't show up for their pickup.
Yeah. We got really lucky with this bottle. And we had a really, really nice bartender.
Yeah. That's
And they don't wear the bow ties anymore.
Oh, really?
No.
It's fine.
They used to dress like speakeasy
people
with the arm garters. Is that, what's that called? The elastic band you put on your sleeve. Is that like a garter still? I don't know.
No
idea. They used to wear the vest and the garter thing and the bow tie and the... Like speakeasy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're gentlemen.
I don't know.
Oh my God, I can drink this all night.
Yeah, this is...
You will. We got 750 milliliters of it.
Yeah, and this is not like being saved. This is being drunk tonight.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh yeah.
Post-show is going to be a long show.
It's crazy how... last show, we just couldn't catch a break.
Mm-hmm.
And the show, like,
everything's
delicious, except for the oxidized barley wine.
Yeah.
Which we're not going to judge because it is not what the brewer intended.
You know, somebody tricked me last time.
No, well, I mean.
Somebody said we weren't going to judge it, and then it was.
No, it can still be part of your fuck, marry, kill, but it's not part of your judge.
I have a slightly different opinion here, right? Because I bought this limited release bottle from the place at a premium, and it's wax coated, and it comes oxidized. Giving them a pass doesn't seem fair.
I mean, the thing is, it is not like okay in the craft beer radio world before we were just CBR. The decision was that if it clearly wasn't what the brewer intended, that we weren't going to judge it on its merits because.
Yeah, I think I grew up since then. I think I'm like, if it's what the marketer, like, you know, if you're going to put it out there, if I'm going to pay $20 for that bottle and you're going to like, you know, not have quality control, then I'm a little pissed about it. So
I guess a comparison would be, let's say you ordered something from IKEA and it had termites in it. Do you judge it based on the fact that it fell apart quickly because it had termites in it?
Oh, right. So ranking it like, oh, this beer is a this versus this bottle's fucked is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to like not rank it. I'm going to say this bottle's fucked last place. Maybe I've changed my opinion over the years. Maybe I'm grumpier now.
Maybe. I feel like I don't have enough experience with the beer itself to judge it.
The bottom. It's about the beer in the bottle for me right now. I reserve the right to change my opinion next week. But
you're allowed.
This beer is fucked. Last place.
Let me take a look at that bottle.
Are we already?
We got to get on the post show.
Okay. I'm just... trying to work on my...
I think it's very interesting how they make this look almost like an award thing here, but it's just a wax seal image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Capricious Boxcar Brew Works, Du Bois, Pennsylvania.
Ah, Du Bois.
Du Bois. I mean, they have some good beers there, but, you know, I bought this one to bring home.
And that might be a good beer. But what I would do is, since they're local, take it back.
Next time we're up in the northern tier.
If it's a good brewery, they'll say, you know what? All right, here you go.
It's a good idea. I'll bring it. Like, this bottle is fucked. What are you going to do about it, bro? Okay, so the rest of the beer is fucking awesome. Do I have to rank them?
That's our shtick. Well, then it's the Craft Beer Radio shtick.
Yes.
We're CBR now.
Now, let me try to do it. It's this, that, and that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. They're all so good. I'm going to put...
So we got to make sure that we get the direction correct so that you know it.
Yeah. Right. So last place... Capricious. Second to last place, Hard Luck Loser in this case. I'm torn between the Trace, which was that kind of matter-of-fact delicious saison, or the East End 19th, which was a pretty good mole stout. I think saison wins, so I'm going to put the East End in fifth place. The Trace in fourth place. Oh, we still got more Trace. Look at that. That's happy. Top three, boy. I'll put the
wow.
Hill. I feel dirty for putting it so low, but I'm gonna put the Hill Farmstead in third place. Gonna put third place. The Dalles in second place.
That's the new ones.
And the
I gotta do a comparison
in first place.
This is hard.
Yeah, it sucks when this show is so awesome.
It really is. It does.
Give a taste of the Cinderlands right after you've tasted the...
I still
like mellower, it. Right?
What's that?
Mellower, right?
Yeah, that's kind of what you get when you...
Yeah.
Yeah, It's like, but that sagey saison, does that beat the big boozy stouts?
Yes.
It's hard to say. All right, Greg, what do you want to do?
All right. That's going in last place.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. This one.
That's not being.
Not applicable.
Not applicable. Okay. Put the Hill Farmstead in the second place. And yes, that's my order.
All right. Tell the people.
All right. Let me take a picture. And so we can save it. All right. In first place, this brew gentleman is gonzo. I mean, the shame of it is it's sold out. No one else can get any more.
Yeah.
Next year.
Next year, though, maybe.
Pre-order it next year.
Mm-hmm. Get some. If it's even close to this, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I mean, you said before that the cinnamon was everything you wanted in a stout. No, this. Mm-hmm. This is everything I wanted in a stout.
I won't. I'll let you do your thing. I have a comment on that.
No, please. I want to hear your comment.
So, there's different things I want in different stouts. When I want an imperial stout, I want boozy, like the Dalles from Cinderlands. So, like this...
11% is an imperial enough for you?
It's not in that vein of Russian imperial stout, where even though it's rye barrels and stuff, the Dalles is still in the vein of Russian imperial stout. This is in a like American double stout, sweet stout kind of thing. Like this is like
sweeter, but
this is like the best McKesson you can ever get.
It's sweeter, but it's full and it's bright and it's
different moods. I want both of them.
No, I'm just giving. Yeah. I'm giving the
counterpoint.
The counterpoint.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. For me, I have two different personalities where I want big, boozy, dark, and roasty.
The Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Do you?
I want big, boozy, dark, and roasty when I want an imperial stout. When that Bell's Expedition isn't hitting the spot, and I want something better. I want the Dalles. And then when I want something that's just freaking delicious, like a milkshake, I want this General Braddock or the Braddock's double Mex.
Brew Gentlemen. Yeah. They're in Braddock.
Yes. That's it.
The Hill Farm set is next because that was a unique view. I never heard anything like that. That Sage Saison thing. Uh-huh. Wow. That's unique. It's out there. Curious. Like, so much story to tell. Love that. Love that. East End, which is a damn good beer. I mean, it hurts in comparison to this one just because this one is so, this Brew Gentleman is so wild.
Yeah, good. This one's bonkers. Yeah. This one's solid.
This is right? Like A++. That is like, you know, B+.
Hey, you're rating like me.
On a, you know, it's one of those things. On an other show last week, this would have killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, oh, like, yeah. So, you know, you got bonkers and solid, you mm-hmm. know, for me. So
the other thing about it was the spice was so good in that one. Like the way the spice was handled.
The way the pepper played.
Yeah. Oh. Like the thing that so the Brew Gentleman was about it just because I think it's absolutely fantastic, top tier, like you said, a wow beer. The Hill Farm said it's above it because there's nothing else I've ever had like it.
Mm-hmm.
The Brew Gentleman is really, really good, and the East End is really, really good, and a really good pepper beer too. So, like, I mean, yeah, just fantastic, and yeah, would be a star in almost every in any other show.
Mm-hmm.
The Trace comes next because it's just a solid saison, great for a meal.
Do you think this one's a bit hard luck in your ranking because of the competition?
I think that the East End is more hard luck than this.
Okay.
I think this one is just, it's missing the complexity that would make it a good beer on its own. As an accompaniment, I think it's fantastic. I think it that's the purpose that it should serve if you were to get it. Because I think that's where it shines. But as a beer under the microscope, it doesn't shine so much. But it's still very good, very solid, very, you know, it's complete for what it is, it's what it's trying to do. There's no flaws in it, which there could be. I mean, making a beer like this is a difficult thing. Making a flawless beer like this is very, very difficult to do, and they did it. Kudos. And yeah, the last one, not a bad beer, the Cinderlands, but the fact that it takes an education and a learning curve and get to get into it. The other ones to me are more, definitely more what I would recommend anybody, and for sure more what I'd be in the market for, I think.
All right, babe, you're up.
I know. I've got to get these in order. I need this one.
You didn't talk about your tablet at all. That was worthy of a...
Well, we can do that in post-show.
I mean, if we run out of drinks, I could also make another paper planes.
Oh.
I still have my paper planes here to... Thank you. Thank you for helping me out here.
Just stop banging on your microphone.
Oh, my God. Jeez, get off my back, man.
Get off my dick.
And that. Jeez.
Shit.
Should I take a picture of the actual
that works too.
Write
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
So that you don't get confused on them.
I do get confused easy.
First
you did,
through.
You did left to right this time, you know.
So. I did left to right last time. It confused you. Okay. So in first place, I have to go with the blue.
It's blue wax.
I mean, the East End is also blue.
I mean, it's my favorite color. I and honestly, that had nothing to do with my rating, but it is my favorite color.
This is the double mix from Brew Gentleman.
It is.
Yes.
I love it. The complexity. Oh my God. I can't get enough of this. I'm very sad mm-hmm. that I can't get any more right now because that is exactly what I'm looking for when I'm looking for a stout, and
you gave it an A triple plus.
I did. I gave
that's
it
like the highest ranking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because four pluses is just breaks the scale and ruins everything.
Yeah. So in second place, I'm going with Cinderlands Douse Rye. I can't remember why. I have to go back to my notes here. I loved the complexity in that as well.
Definitely complex.
One plus, though.
It was an A plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you all need to
there are
really,
two extra pluses.
There, yeah. You have to understand the way I do things. It doesn't make sense to anybody else but me.
No, you have to start. When you pick your starting point, you have to make room in between.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Pluses and minuses.
I love the complexity, the cocoa notes. I see.
No, Jeff is saying that this beer wrecks the curve, is what he's saying. This beer breaks the curve, so you got to regrade everything now because this beer
broken. Just have to add more pluses. There's always more pluses. There's an infinite number of pluses.
It's a community joke where pluses are minus.
Do you all care?
Yeah. We do.
What my ranking is?
I love you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
A lot.
Do you, Greg?
I do.
Do you love me? Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to carry on.
Like platonically, but you know.
Yeah.
That's love.
I'm going to carry on then.
You should.
Shh. Shh. Second. All right. We did the Cinderlands. Third place. I am happy to announce that East.
Are you opening an envelope here?
Like a cat.
Well, we are getting ready for what is it coming up? I don't care. But East End's 19th anniversary Mexican Stout. Okay. I do recognize the fact that stouts are probably my favorite. Why'd you do that?
I figured you're on a cuss.
Because he was trying to get your curses out of there with the horrible curses you said.
So you guys are so rude.
We're so rude.
You know what's really funny? When I play these sounds here, I don't think that makes it into the Euphonic mix.
Oh, really?
I don't think I upload these beep, beep, beeps that I'm doing to the Euphonic
mix. Oh, good. So only I get there.
Yeah. So
yours go in for sure, but mine don't.
East End, you freaking nailed it with this one. This Mexican stout. I had it last night when I was at the brewery.
It only took them 19 years.
Yeah. And I really, really.
I mean, shit, it took me 33, right? So,
you guys are so fucking rude, man. You interrupt
me. We talk over each other all the time.
I know. I'm just being very sensitive tonight, I suppose. So, anyway, East End, yeah, I really like it. The complexity, the fact that commonplace.
Yeah,
is in there. Mm.
We didn't specify this, but there is a local coffee roaster, Commonplace Coffee.
Yeah.
It's what Shannon and I drink.
Well, we talked about
daily.
But we didn't really
explain.
That's our
coffee.
Yes.
We assumed local coffee roaster makes some of the best coffee. It's I didn't drink coffee until I tasted like a single origin Commonplace. I'm like, oh.
I'm sorry.
That's coffee? Oh, I'm going to drink coffee now.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
That's sad.
It's life, man.
No, that's really sad. Like, how can you. Well, that's a whole nother subject for the after show.
Probably drank less than 10 cups of coffee that haven't been commonplace. No, actually, that's not true.
That can't be true.
No.
I love the fact that it was. It's really weird because I had no idea that habanero was in there. And then when habanero was mentioned, I was like, oh, crap. I taste that habanero.
For sure.
That's so, I don't know. It's just,
It's good beer.
It adds to it, and it just makes it great. So that's third. I'm making this much longer than it should be. Hillstead.
No.
Number four.
Hill Farmstead.
Hill Farmstead. I'm riding, and I'm just being stupid. Hillsborough. So
Hillboys.
Hillsborough. Yes, Hillsborough County.
Hillsborough is the county
that's
he lived in.
Where I grew up. Hill Farmstead, the
Hillbois.
Nonconformist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Smells like sage. I freaking love this. Like, that's I don't know. New, right? This is going to be on my marry, fuck, kill because.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm spoiling. Yeah. That's fine. I'm putting it on my Mary Fuck Kill because of the fact that I love going to an Italian restaurant and them giving me fresh bread that's just out of the oven.
The Olive Garden.
That's not, I don't go to the fucking Olive Garden.
It would be fine if you did. People go to, no, it's fine. I don't.
Well,
let's not go to
get snobby about that the audience doesn't know.
They don't do the oil bread there, do they? No.
They do endless pasta or whatever. Yeah. Endless breadsticks.
Some stupid shit.
They do endless something.
Yeah, some stupid shit. Anyways, give me some fresh bread and a plate with olive oil and some fresh Italian seasonings mixed in with that olive oil to dip that warm fresh bread in. That's exactly what I'm tasting.
You know why that works? There's science behind that. We'll talk about that in the potion.
All right, we will. And I don't even know where I'm at. Oh, Trace. Trace is number four.
Five.
What?
Yeah, because the Hill Farmstead was number
four. Oh, five. Trace. And I'm sorry about that because I feel really bad because Trace is really freaking good.
Look what it's up against.
Yeah, unlike last week where everything, or last episode, where everything was, I don't know, a complete, not utter failure. I don't know. Yeah, underwhelming. That's a nice way to put it.
Nice way to put it, yes.
I don't put
The best beer was fine.
And I can't get this thing to move, and it's not moving. I don't know why I like Trace, because I can't get my freaking tablet to do what
Sometimes the technology defeats you when you just want to have something to write
down. The Trace was kind of one note, and...
Don't give me the finger. Give the finger to your device.
All right.
Fucking
weird. And in last place, Boxcar.
It was oxidized.
So that...
Take it back.
I'm really sorry to say that.
It will be a question of the, if the brewer is a good brewer, they're going to say, okay, you know what? Here's a different one. And if they're not, then they're going to say, you get what you pay for.
Yep.
Take it back.
Yep. On our way back up to
I'd like to know about Dubois.
Dubois.
All right. So I guess we move on to the Mary Kill. I'm going to marry the Trace Fooder Saison.
Really?
Yeah. Stick around for dinner every night. Fuck yeah. Solid.
Okay.
I am going to kill the boxcar because it's oxidized. And I am going to fuck the Brew Gentleman. And I also want to nominate the Brew Gentleman for a Best of the Beerists. So, the Beerist podcast, that's our highest award. And everyone on the show has to agree that it's worthy of the title of Best of the Beerist. So now John Rubio has to get this beer and vote on. It's just stupid. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Not even going to bother to acknowledge that. Go ahead, Shannon.
Oh, God, I'm not ready.
I'm ready. If you're not.
Go ahead.
All right. So what am I fucking? I'm fucking the East End. Spicy Mama. Right? I mean, it's close because like the Hill Farmstead is like exotic. Right? Mm-hmm. That's something I've never seen before. That's something you're like, But the East End is like spicy in all the right ways and got the right curves. And I don't know, there's something still familiar about it, but also very fuckable. So I'm going to go with the East End. Hill Farmstead maybe as a second if the East End's busy.
You need a Baby Got Back soundbite right here.
I'm that's all I got. I guess for Mary, yeah, it's got to be the Brew Gentleman, right? I mean, come on, that's if you're gonna marry an amazing person, then do it. If you get the chance to marry an amazing person, probably should. That's amazing beer. And for Kill, of the beers that are here, I mean, Kill, it's obvious for the Capricious, but of the ones that are on here, then it has to be the Cinderlands. Hard luck loser, but
all right. What's wrong?
I'm having a hard time with the Mary
The Mary fuck Kill. You're having a hard time.
It doesn't matter.
Just with the thing that does not deserve much of a second thought.
None of it matters, but this is the thing that matters the least of none of the matters.
All right. All right. Take your time. Figure it out. Dang. Do the math. Yeah.
And I'm flipping through my notes here.
Don't overthink it. And just go with your gut. No notes.
I like turtles.
No notes.
No, don't just say go. Don't.
Babe, this isn't a notes thing. This is
so
just,
I found what I was looking for.
But I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Where's Hill Farmstead?
It's right there in front of you.
Right. This one.
Yeah.
I want to marry that one.
Okay.
It's over 9,000!
And the reason why I want to marry that one is because I love fresh, warm bread dipped in olive oil with my Italian seasonings. That's the freaking bomb. And I could do that every night, even though it wouldn't be good for me.
That's the thing. That feels like someone you'd marry for their accent and get sick of real quick.
I'm not going to get sick of it. My body might not like it, but I'm going to freaking love it. So that's my Mary. I am going to fuck the Brew Gentleman. And I'm...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to kill the boxcar.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another amazing episode of CBR. Best episode of CBR ever.
Best.
The first episode of CBR.
CBR.
The best. It's technically true.
Yes.
The best.
Also the worst.
Why do you have to be so glass half empty?
Because you're the glass half empty.
All right, man.
You know, tune in next time for another great episode of whatever we're calling ourselves this week. And it's going to be a great episode. I just feel it. It's going to be the greatest.
You know what? We'll be coming back with some more beers from Florida.
And Atlanta.
And Atlanta.
I just...
And the music stopped because music's over. Because we're... just taking too long to wrap this up.
The USB
But you know, like, we will be returning after our trip.
You know, like doors are getting locked.
I'm telling you, this USB thing is fucked up. I don't know what's going on here.
Maybe the red cable's no bueno.
Maybe. Try a new cable.
I said, yeah, you could do that. Could plug you into USB channel 1.
All right, channel 2. I'm out.
All right.
Party break for me.
You're not interested in this USB talk? Because, I mean, come on.
No, well, I'm fine with USB talk, but it's party break time.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.